Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 151, aka 151, very special guest. I have been getting lots of family members in. This one promises not to make baby sounds. Oh, I don't know.
Well, who knows?
You may. Yeah.
Depends how scared of you I get.
This is my cousin Jasper, who I am really excited to have on the podcast because, as we have said many times, basically 90% of our conversation since ever watches topics.
Well, it's contentable, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Is that even a word?
It is now.
It is now. CC.
Yeah, you really should. Oh, these people are going to nick it.
Thanks so much for having you on, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
We were just admiring your studio. It's beautiful.
It's pretty impressive. You took a photograph or two of Tom's Lego.
It's a pretty impressive Lego collection. Mm. It's something that we got into over lockdown. Obviously, it's a great indoor activity.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but sort of with my job, a lot of it is taking sort of disparate pieces of information, 3,000 or 4,000 pages of documents and being asked to distill that into a couple of pages. So I really enjoy Lego because it gives you 3,000 or 4,000 pieces and tells you exactly how to put it together step by step. And you can just sit there and go, oh, yeah, step one, step two, step three. The most frustrating thing that happens while doing it is you might have a little bit of trouble finding a piece.
And it's there somewhere.
Exactly,
though.
It's there somewhere.
It's got to be there.
And then a couple of hours later, you step back and, wow, masterpiece. I did that.
So we need to roll it back for a second.
Please.
And we'll specify what exactly is your job.
So I'm a solicitor.
That explains all the pieces of paper.
Correct.
And yep.
Yeah, that's my day job. We also do a lot of music-focused stuff. I'm part of a collective called Undisclosed. Before COVID happened, we were running a lot of events, techno-focused events around Sydney. Yeah. But now we're doing a lot more COVID-friendly events. So we have a radio show on Monday nights. So that's on 8 p.m. on Bondi Beach Radio. Every week we sort of have different guests on to play some music and have a little bit of a chat, kind of a bit like this, except
with music.
With music, yeah.
Because you can on radio
exactly,
without having to
pay. And live, of course.
Oh, yeah, you do it live
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, yeah.
You've got to time out and everything.
That's it, yeah. So we're still within our first month of that. I think we just had our fourth show last night.
Are you feeling like you've got a flow, like you've got, so obviously, well, I don't know if you've done this, but in the world of radio, you start with a clock or a template, right? And you fill those clocks up. Fill their templates up, and that's what you work off.
Yeah. I think for us, we have the advantage of being a music-focused show.
Yeah, so you can really... How much... Oh, but your song's not like 3 or 4 minutes long. So,
they're more like 6-7 minutes. But the thing is that somebody's there to provide a mix for us.
Nice.
So we've got a two-hour slot.
Yeah.
And probably about 80 to 90 minutes of that at least is taken up by just somebody playing music.
Yeah, right.
And quite often we'll only have sort of 10 to 15 minutes worth of chat. You know, we just get to sit there and enjoy the music most of the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's quite enjoyable. It's sort of launched off. We have a podcast as well, which includes some interviews. You can find them on SoundCloud if you search Undisclosed.
Awesome.
And we've just been doing live streams as well.
I've seen a couple of your live streams.
Yeah, I remember actually seeing some comments from it's great because the live streams, you don't actually have to be there around all the loud music.
That's
so people
right.
who aren't really into that kind of thing.
You can dip in and out.
You can dip in and out, yeah.
Like, still watch, but just put you on lower volume.
Exactly.
I remember watching Steph watching you on her phone.
Yeah.
She's so funny. Where's he gone? Well, it's not his turn right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I only have an hour. I can't be there for the whole time.
Oh. Yeah. So
well, again, thank you so much for having me. It's amazing. I was also admiring your Katy Perry shark outfit over
Yes. there. Yes. That's specifically for Shark Week events.
Shark Week, yeah.
Yeah.
We had Shark Week a few months
shark
ago.
Shark Week's already happened.
Yeah.
So that well, it's actually on a mannequin.
Yeah.
I don't know where the mannequin's from, though.
It's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to stay here after dark, which is great. Because it's daylight saving, so I'm fine.
Are you ever scared that, you know, if it turns dark, the lights turn off?
Yeah.
You leave, you come back in, you turn the lights on again, and the mannequin's in a different place?
Oh, like it's moved.
It's moved.
No, I wasn't until now.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter.
This week's council cleanup has uncovered some gold. Well, not actual gold, but wonderful treasures for Stu Stately and the other members of Your Trash, Our Treasure Club. In the hours before the rubbish trucks come and take away all the old broken garden pots, barbecues, clothes horses, exercise equipment, kids' toys and circa 1992 loungers, Stu and his mates drive around in their own trucks and vans and have a good rummage. They are, quote, pretty stoked with this haul, eh? After procuring 6 boxes of the local paper from 15 years ago, all the same edition, a couple of IKEA armchairs, only slightly stained, 3 cracked toilet bowls, framed photos of Alex Mack from The Secret World of Alex Mack, and a taped off the TV version of Scarface, with ads. Stu said they have no plans at the moment to do anything with them, so they've managed to shove them in the back shed and will get around to them, eventually. Our wonderful Watchersville choir have been busy rehearsing in the lead up to their open air and totally safe TV show theme song concert by the lake. Although not wanting to give away too much, they have confirmed classics like A Country Practice, Rugrats, The Nanny and the ABC News Bulletin music will all be performed live. A cappella. Tickets will be on sale from next Monday, so pop that in your diary. Police are warning the public to keep clear of the Rotunda this Thursday night, as the feuding Rent Musical Fan Club and the Hamilton Appreciation Society are planning a sing-off. This is off the back of the Schuyler Sisters announcing Anne Peggy is more hardcore and cool than all of Rent combined. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
We've got a whole heap of watching suggestions and I think a bit of playing suggestion as well.
That's it.
We've been playing some stuff. Yeah, so yeah. We'll talk about that. I've got a would you rather for you because I've really been enjoying finding out people's preferences.
Beautiful.
For difficult situations. And we've got a fair bit of news this week. Let's see if we can get through it all or not. But I wanted to start off with one that I saw today, which is... We're recording on Tuesday. We've played Fall Guys together.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun. Everyone was dressed up differently, but we were playing within the first week or something.
Yeah.
So it was very different. But now you see all these different costumes and stuff, crazy. Anyway, today they introduced a Sonic the Hedgehog costume or skin, I should probably call it, to celebrate Sega's 60th anniversary.
60th.
What on earth?
What were they doing for the first 30 years of that?
See, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, I know Nintendo was like collecting cards, playing cards and stuff. So maybe Sega were a similar sort of thing.
Maybe, yeah. And then they sort of pivoted into video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't the first time that Sonic's made an appearance in other games. Obviously, he's in the Super Smash Brothers series. Yeah. Obviously, they had the Sonic movie earlier this year.
Yeah.
Actually, funny story about that one.
Did you see it?
I didn't actually see it, but I heard good things about it. And that's very rare for a video game movie, isn't it?
Yeah, and very rare for Sonic because I feel like people really laid into Sonic for a fair while.
It goes both ways with Sonic, really. Sometimes people really enjoy the game. Mm. There's one came out recently. Can't quite remember what it was called. Sonic Forces.
I think.
But there was also the one that was the remake of all of the old Sonic games.
Oh, Sonic Mania.
Mania.
Yeah.
And I got that on the Switch and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. You should see Steph play that.
She stands up,
doesn't
she?
I used to be better at it. I finished this game.
Is there lots of moving and stomping?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I bet there is. Me, personally, I'm a default skin guy on Fall Guys.
Okay.
I feel like it really makes you stand out.
That's true because you're just one single
pink
color.
Yeah.
So you still do the pink?
I still do the pink.
You don't change the color?
I haven't changed a single bit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was actually pretty jealous of the skin that Archie got though, which was Archie's my brother, also Lee's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
He got the Portal skin.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. That cost a couple of crowns.
Yeah, well, he's got them.
I
haven't won anything. I haven't won one yet.
How much is the Sonic one going to be?
I think it's like 10.
10, yeah.
So you've either got to have won a whole heap or I think depending on how long you play, you end up getting a couple of pity crowns. So maybe that's what I'll end up
consolation
doing.
Consolation crowns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I think is wild is that, so, like you said, Sonic has been in other games, but now Sonic is apart from maybe the Portal guy, but I think Sonic is way more recognizable. Mm. So he is now the recognizable character in Fall Guys.
Correct. Yeah.
Weird.
Actually, funny story about the movie, going back to the movie.
Yeah.
So I ran into a guy who did promotion for or marketing for Paramount.
Yeah, right.
And you know how they had to do the whole character redesign? So a few years ago, for people who don't know the story, they released the first trailer for the Sonic movie and everybody just absolutely crapped on the design of Sonic. It did look pretty creepy.
The mouth when he smiled,
The eyes weren't joined together.
No.
Yeah, it just looked a little bit like Uncanny Valley type creepy.
That's a good way of putting it.
Obviously they had to put the release date of the movie back to redo all of the CGI.
Must have cost a fortune.
Well, that's it. And he said that now our target went up by about $150 million in terms of the sales that they had to make.
Wow.
He had a tough couple of months marketing that movie, but he said they hit it. So
it worked.
It worked, yeah.
And they're planning another one.
Yeah, okay.
So we should probably watch the first one before the second one comes out.
Do you think so?
Mm.
It's now on Amazon Prime.
Ah, which I've got.
Which you've got. There you go. I'm not sure if it was one of the premium ones, though. It might be.
I'll have a look.
Do you think it was deliberate?
In what way that it's on Amazon?
No, sorry. In terms of making it look bad initially and then responding to the backlash to make it look like, oh, yeah, we listened to our fans.
They fan service, didn't they? They really did. I don't know. I would say maybe, but now that you've told me the story about the bloke that you know, I'm like, maybe not. Yeah.
They did get a lot of goodwill from it, though, I think.
So much goodwill.
Yeah.
And also, I also think now, if a show or a movie or a game or whatever doesn't listen to the fans, to the tweets.
They've ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, I think so. They've probably already got execs trying to tell them what to do.
Exactly,
now they've got people who haven't even seen it yet.
I wonder whose idea it was to do it that way in the first place, though.
There must have been discussions.
Focus groups.
Focus groups. I all got it wrong.
Speaking of Fall Guys, just quickly, how much of their player base do you reckon has been purloined by Among Us?
They're two really different games.
They are, but they still attract the same kind of both sort of, I guess, hardcore and casual gamers.
Yeah, I agree. Because especially with Among Us, because you can play on your phone.
On your phone, yeah.
Which is really easy.
I think that's been really nice because it's opened up, you know, obviously playing cross-platform, playing with everybody.
Because when I play with you and your sister, my cousin, gosh, it's very difficult to say, Immy. Let's just say Immy. So is she playing on her phone or the computer?
She's playing on her phone.
And your PC, right?
I like to play on the PC just because I can type faster.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I didn't have it, I'd be playing it on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it on the phone except for when messages, like you start getting
off.
WhatsApp messages and you're like, I'm already dead. I'm just going to have a look. And then you're like, I'm dead.
I'm dead, but now I'm out.
I'm dead and out. Can I have the code again?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, maybe that's do you think that's to stop people from cheating?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But then you can do it on your PC.
You can. I like to hold myself to a sort of honor code.
Yeah.
I could very well just say, hey guys, red killed me.
Yeah, it was red.
Yeah, it was red.
It's either red or blue usually.
It's always red or blue. And yellow is always sus.
Always sus. I saw this video, I think it was on Twitter the other day, and then I tried to find it the next day. I couldn't because I was like, I've got to send it to you guys. Mm. It was this English rapper and all he was doing was just go, what, where, what, where. It was Among Us.
Just reading Among Us.
We
had a game the other night where literally no one else was talking, and that is just, it's one of the most awkward and weird gaming experiences I think I've ever had.
But it's 50% of the game.
I would say even more than
probably
that.
Yeah, probably more. Because everybody hang, like they wait.
Correct.
Who killed?
And it was just me and Immy going, who, where? Why did you call this meeting?
And that's all.
That's it.
Oh, my God. There was one from where I was playing solo and someone called the meeting. Say it was Orange.
Mm.
Orange called the meeting and then Orange said, so where did the murder happen? And we're all like, it's you.
You called it.
We're voting for you now. Yeah.
Anyone who hasn't given that game a go, seriously try it. You can get it on Android, get it on iPhone.
Everywhere.
It's quite accessible.
Do you have to pay for it on Steam?
You do.
Okay.
I think I paid only about $7.
Oh, well
yeah,
then.
It's really
nothing.
Worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously now they've said that they were developing Among Us 2.
Yeah.
But since this one has become so popular, they're just going to take all the features that they were going to put into that game into this game.
I think it's a good idea.
I think so.
Because the game's a couple of years old and no one discovered it until somebody
I think there was some Norwegian or Korean
on
streamer.
On Twitch or something?
Yeah, on Twitch. Mm. And then they just said, everybody check this game out. It's awesome.
And it is.
It is, yeah. Oh, you love those little gems, don't you?
I just think it's amazing that as a whole, we're all desperately trying to find like things that we can play together.
Correct.
Now, like played stuff with you before, but I've never played a game with Emmy.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, Steph won't, she hasn't played Among Us yet. I don't know how it works. We'll play it for 5 seconds and you'll understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, like she'll play Fall Guys. Like she would happily jump on and play Fall Guys with you. And she would never do that before. I think it's really cool because I can see how playing online is intimidating
for
people.
For sure. But I think this game really skirts a good line between accessibility and depth.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have games that are really accessible, but they're really shallow.
Yeah.
So Candy Crush, anybody can play it.
Mm.
But, you know, how many sort of candy pieces can you swap until you get bored?
Yeah.
Whereas if a game is like too in-depth, then it becomes not accessible at all.
True.
Somebody couldn't just pick it up and give it a go.
Yep.
And I think this game, because the complexities involves in the interactions between the players and those interactions are very human and not really involved in gameplay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There is gameplay, but they're just tiny little sort of mini games.
It's just busy work, really.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the real game happens when you're in the room.
When you're talking.
Chatting.
Especially if people talk.
Isn't it funny how we have just started playing the board/card game Avalon.
Such a good game.
It's also very similar to that.
It really is.
You're trying to figure out who the nasties are.
I'm looking forward to our next game of Avalon, which will be, I think, in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always get the good guy who knows nothing.
Yeah.
That's my role. And I've got to then figure out who's the tricky, who are the bad guys or who's the guy that knows other things. And Among Us, I was always crewmate. And then the other night,
Imposter.
I was like, oh, it's taking them forever. So I went and put like, I was doing tea and I was like, all right, I'll just go and fill the water up. And I came back and I'm like the only person standing in the cafeteria. And I'm like, oh, okay, what do I have to do? Why can't I see what I have to do? Why is everything a bit different? Oh, no, the imposter. What the hell do I do? So I just kept trying to go next to people to kill them, but I was like, it's not working. I killed one person and then they finished everything. I was like, oh!
You blew it.
The one time.
Your one chance.
The one time.
It's the opposite of what Eminem said to do.
Yeah, that's right. Had I really focused on his lyrics, I wouldn't have made that mistake.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have missed your chance to blow.
And I would have had Mum's Spaghetti, right? Yeah. Same song,
you still
right?
have Mum's Spaghetti
I
all
still
the time,
do, right? yeah.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Let's talk some casting news now. Do you have the Apple Plus TV thing?
It's probably the only one I don't, actually.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Well, Morning Show is like their big one with Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's more Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
Mm.
But Steve Carell, it's announced that he's coming back. But they've cast a couple of other characters. Now, I'm going to absolutely ruin one of their names because it's an Irish name.
Mm.
And you know with those Irish names, you either say half of them
and
leave the others or the other half are like Vs for no apparent reason.
Or it's a name that you do already know.
Yes.
But spelt differently.
Yeah. So like your Kira's.
Kira. Yeah.
And then other people are like, no, that's Ciara. And you're like, well.
Yeah, well, help me out.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Rurari O'Connor.
Rory.
Rory.
Yeah.
So Rory.
That's one of the ones I was talking
Brilliant.
About. Yeah.
So I got a friend called Bevan.
Mm.
But it's like to read. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway. He's going to be cast as a charismatic and savvy YouTube star. So I reckon he's going to do a lot of hashtaggy stuff in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that really drew my attention was Greta Lee because she was amazing in Russian Doll. Did you see that
show? I haven't, actually.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, okay.
But like more messed up.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so she plays Maxine in Russian Doll and she's the one who is hosting the party every single night.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's going to be in it as well. She's an ambitious leader of an online media company that caters to a millennial and Gen Z audience.
Okay.
We may or may not watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I've seen all the trailers.
Well, then you're close enough to watching the second one then.
Am I closer to, than you?
I think I've seen one trailer.
One trailer.
Yeah, one trailer. Yeah.
I saw Steve Carell. It went on the list.
Yes.
And then I think, well, I don't have the streaming thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's all about accessibility, isn't it?
But there's also like so many streaming sites.
Oh, I feel like the point of the streaming sites initially. So when Netflix came out, it was about cord cutting in a way. Get rid of cable. Yeah. You don't need cable. You don't need to go to the video shop.
Yeah.
You've got everything you need here. And it's cheaper.
Yeah, it was very cheap.
Now that there's five or six you need, it's no longer cheaper.
It's like cable.
And everything is spread across everything.
Yeah, it's really irritating. And also when you think about especially, let's have a look at maybe 5 years ago, Netflix in the US, what they had on there would have been a far greater variety from different places.
It was pretty comprehensive,
places.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they had The Office, they had, I think, did they have Friends?
Yeah, well, they now have Friends.
They now have Friends.
Yeah, as well.
You know, movies, and they had all the Marvel TV shows, and now they're... For me, I'm starting to see the warning signs of Netflix a little bit because, you know, they've got these series, new series, cancelled after one season.
Well, this is what you and who were you talking to about this a few weeks ago?
I think I was either talking to Kristen or Mick about
it. It was Chris.
Yeah,
and, yeah. You were saying that it's sometimes difficult. Well, I find now it's difficult to get into these seasons because you're like, well, is it still going to be around in a couple of years?
Am I going to be interested?
Glow was a big one.
Yeah. That I think is the... big mistake of Netflix because the backlash that I've seen from a huge variety of people about that, and it wasn't necessarily that it was cancelled, but they'd already renewed it for its final season. It only had one left.
And just why don't you just let him go with it?
Just let him do it.
Yeah.
Where's the problem in even waiting a year?
Yeah.
If you have to.
Altered Carbon was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty popular.
Yeah. Sort of gone are the days where you get, you know, it's guaranteed to wrap up eventually. I mean, what have we seen on Netflix that's actually run its course? I know BoJack Horseman finished its, I think, seventh season recently.
That's right.
That was quite good.
I can't remember. There was that. Now I'm starting to wonder if this was actually HBO, actually. Mm. But it was a limited series with Jonah Hill in it.
Right.
That one wrapped up because it was going to. Like they said in the beginning, this is...
That's it.
Maybe it was Netflix. Mm. It was really good. And I went into that knowing that you're only going to give me this.
Yeah. Well, the Bodyguard as well. That was just a limited
that's
one.
That's true.
With the bloke from Game of Thrones. His name escapes me right now.
Rob.
Rob Stark.
Rob Stark, yeah. Yeah, that was a great one.
It was good. House of Cards got House its last cards. Season out.
Yeah, how many people watched it? Ooh, yikes.
Have you seen those yearly things that Kevin Spacey puts out?
No. What is this?
Oh, so every year around Christmas, he puts out a sort of 3 or 4 minute video on YouTube of him in character as Frank Underwood.
Okay.
Basically saying, oh, you thought I was gone, but I'm not, and I'm still sort of hanging around. And it's so creepy.
Is it cringy creepy?
It's
as
cringe
well?
And it's creepy. And it's like, mate, what are you doing?
We don't.
No one wants this.
We've all moved on.
Yeah.
So how many seasons was that? Seven?
So there were six, I think.
Six?
And I think he.
And he's still going.
Well, he's still playing the character.
Yeah. Long
you know,
after.
Yeah. And I'm like, who's filming this as well? I don't know. You've got to be pretty desperate if Kevin Spacey says, hey, do you want to come to my house and. Film this PSA for me.
I think I'm busy. I think I'm really, really busy. Yeah. Do you know who I am on board with creating brand new stuff?
Please.
Tina Fey.
Yes, Tina Fey.
I remember for several Christmases, I would get 30 Rock on DVD and then on Boxing Day, we would sit there and watch the whole season.
Yep. It's a pretty, it's sort of one of those shows that would have really done well on the streaming services.
Yeah.
Before, yeah, because it did really well on DVD because obviously it's just so bingeable.
Watching one is actually not enough.
No, it's not.
Did you watch the Kimmy Schmidt
season? I didn't, no, I didn't.
The show, I think it had four
Unbreakable.
Seasons. Yeah,
no.
That was pretty funny as well, but less Tina Fey in it. So, you know, if that's the thing that breaks it, then don't bother. but she's got a new show coming to Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service over there. See, that's another fragmented section of of programming. Anyway, it's called Girls Five Ever, and that is a 90s girl group that come back as a reunion. So I'm thinking like Backstreet Boys stuff.
Or Spice Girls.
Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they're going to have the surly one, otherwise aka Posh?
They're all going to have their own little gimmick, aren't they?
Yeah, totally are. Yeah. Tina say it's a story where like every single one of them at one point in time was engaged to Carson Daly.
Is she being serious when she says that?
I really hope so.
Me too. And I hope Carson Daly's in it at some point too.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be so
good. I reckon he'd be in on it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was a huge, I know he still does stuff on TV there,
yeah.
But like he was on MTV. He was the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's not that busy, is he?
I don't know.
Haven't seen much of him.
Let's tweet him.
Is Amy Poehler in it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know who'll be trying to get in? Rachel Dratch.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that anything that those two work on together.
Maya Rudolph as well, throw her in the mix.
Yes, those three. I'd watch anything that those three sort of have
100%
any involvement.
Agree.
Any combination of the three as well.
Yeah.
One of them, two of them, or three of them. I'll probably get
out.
On board with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One comes in as a special guest, stays as the judge. Perfect.
Maya Rudolph's fresh off her Emmy win, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the Monstrous.
Yep, and she was also nominated for her
Good Place.
As the judge.
Mm.
She had
what a year.
Hi everyone. 2020's kind of bad, but here's my Emmy.
Have you actually watched Big Mouth?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's incredible. I mean, I feel kind of envious for you because it's one of those shows where there's already three seasons out, so you can just watch all three.
This, we're going back to the whole Netflix cancelling thing. Like now that I know that there's three seasons, I'm like, well, if I like it, then I've got heaps of episodes to get into.
I feel like though, because it's a cartoon, very cheap to produce. You know, it's very easy. One dude pretty much writes most of it.
And the cast doesn't necessarily have to be in the same place at the same time.
Well, the thing is that Nick Kroll, who created it, is actually most of the cast. So he can just be there and do most of it himself.
Do you remember back in the day when I used to do those fake ads and stuff for when I was on community radio and I would write them all and I would desperately try to write them so that I could just
do them all.
Just do them because it's just easier. But then sometimes I'm like, I can't be on Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Jasper.
Sweet dreams.
Dream.
And then you get your Venezuelan made in as well.
There was one for an FM, like commercial radio station. It was a Christmas radio serial called Gonga Bread Man, the gluten-free gingerbread man. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I don't know if I got you to do the voice in that one, but I got her to do the voice of Mary.
Mary.
I got my mate Heath, who's been on the podcast, to do the voice of Joseph.
Mm.
And they and Gonga Bread Man had to take – desperately for some reason needed their donkey and I remember asking her to say, hey, I got a kid in here, buddy. And he's like, hey, listen to these fully sick subwoofers. And then the Macarena comes on. So random. It's and those kind of things like this, it's so many years since I made them.
Yeah.
That listening back, I listen with fresh ears. I'm like,
know,
that's
you're
really
so funny. Yeah, I think for some reason, Gonga Bread Man has just gone completely out of my head until just now. And for some reason, that name just makes me crack up. I don't know why.
It amuses me.
I don't know why it makes me laugh. I hope you still have all that somewhere.
Oh, they all be in here.
That's
or
amazing. Yeah, there's so much data that I've lost over the years.
I'm very careful.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Ewan McGregor has actually given us like word that not only this Obi-Wan thing is happening. I'm talking about the show on Disney Plus.
Yes.
So excited about this. But he definitely is involved.
Yes.
And that they're starting to film it in March.
Amazing.
This is exciting.
You know what I was surprised about?
What?
that they're filming, that they're scheduled to film in Canada, California.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, I was listening to Nicole Byer, who is the host of Nailed It on Netflix, which I love.
Yep.
And she, because she's got a couple of different podcasts, and I was listening to Best Friends, and she was talking about how, like, how makeup artist, like getting your makeup done is now different. Mm-hmm. And she lives in LA. So obviously productions have started in some capacity. So I'm interested to see how this Star Wars one will be.
Tatooine, everyone's pretty spaced out, right? So you can kind of socially distance when you're filming it.
That's true.
I did read that they're using the same set that they use for The Mandalorian.
Awesome. Because it works.
It does. This one's set, obviously going to be set in between episode 3 and episode 4.
Yep. Which is great. Like, it's awesome. That, fill me in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to find out how a 30-year-old Ewan McGregor ages into a 74-year-old Alec Guinness in the space of 19 years or whatever it is.
Look, that sun can't be good for no, Scottish it's complexion.
It's the sun. Yeah. All that riding around on banthas without sunscreen.
There'd be no sunscreen in space, would there?
I mean, it was a long, long time ago.
It was a long, long time ago. And now the hood makes sense.
And there's two suns. So yeah, there's double the UV.
Double the out. Not enough alloy. Alloy? Aloy. She's not there either.
She's out in post-apocalyptic Colorado.
Yeah, she really is. Complexion as well.
I'm so excited about this though. Jokes aside, I think The Mandalorian was a really good, demonstration of what can happen if you just let somebody see something all the way through.
Yep.
A very clear vision. Do we know who's writing or directing anything, Emmy?
Don't know at the moment, but I did read today that there were some announcements within the Disney executive team.
Mm.
They seem to be putting a lot more focus on Disney streaming productions.
Sure.
So this kind of thing, I assume, is just the beginning, which is great. We know that we're also getting Diego Luna's character from Rogue One is getting his own solo show as well, which is awesome.
So I'm guessing in the lead up to Rogue One.
Yeah. I'd assume so.
I'm interested to see what they do with that character, actually, because Rogue One was definitely probably my favorite out of all of the Disney movies, I would say.
Me too.
Disney Star Wars movies.
It stuck with me for longer.
Yeah.
I think about it more often than
me
the
too.
Others.
And I think just I really identified a little bit more with the characters.
Mm.
The story was, I mean, obviously had a really good arc. It had a clear end. I mean, you knew what was going to happen.
You knew it was going to happen, but also the way they integrated A New Hope into it.
I think that scene at the end, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but
some
honestly,
really cool
it's probably my favorite 2-minute scene out of any Star Wars movie
ever. Yeah, right. Yeah. I understand why.
Yeah.
It is
incredible.
Yeah. I remember having, you know, the chills.
Yeah, the chills. Yeah.
Like, oh, this is good. That's good. having said that, I don't think I've watched it in a long time. Might be worth another go.
Mm. Yeah. I think my thing about him was that the way they set him up at the start, he has that meeting with that rebel guy.
Yeah.
And he murders him. And then after that, I was like a bit confused. Oh, is this guy supposed to be a good guy or is he supposed to be a bad guy?
Is he going to twist at the end?
Exactly. And then there was kind of I think it was the sort of redemption type.
Yeah,
thing,
for sure. I also really just like him as an actor.
Yeah.
He's done some great stuff.
He has.
And when you think about him in the Mexican version of, Narcos Mexico.
Yes.
Totally different character.
Correct. He's obviously got some range.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Interesting choice to pick him for a series. I mean, you'd think there's a lot of other people that they could have gone, or a lot of other characters that they could have gone to. I guess it's good to have somebody who doesn't really have a backstory filled in.
He doesn't have a backstory filled in, but there's obviously a backstory.
Yeah.
When we met him, we were like, oh, okay, stuff's gone.
You've got some battle scars. Yeah.
He's been up to stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So what were we thinking? Maybe end of next year?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, if they're filming in March. This is for Obi-Wan, obviously.
Yeah. Because they've managed to get the Mandalorian stuff happening, and I kept waiting for them to announce that was going to get delayed, and it wasn't. The way they film that, it works.
That's in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really, really soon. Are you going to go week to week, or are you going to try and bank them up? Because I'm 100% week to week.
Does it go week to week?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's how the first one went.
That's how the first one went.
I'll probably have to wait three.
You do three in a go? Yeah.
I'm one of those people that Like, I'd rather wait and then have a couple in a row than just do one at a time.
Yeah, it's difficult. But then you've also got to be careful not to have spoilers. But do you care about spoilers in Mandalorian? I don't know.
Well, obviously, you have to watch the first one when it first comes out, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think I had the... I mean, how much was a spoiler that Baby Yoda was in the first season? Because that was 100% spoiled for me by the thousands of memes.
Okay. Oh, so you weren't going week to week with that?
The way we actually started watching it was Archie, my brother, and I went and saw the most recent Star Wars film.
Yep.
So
Rise of Skywalker.
Honestly, I forgot it was called that. It's just so forgettable, that movie. But we got out of the movie theater.
Yeah.
And thought, God, I'd really like to watch some good Star Wars now.
Yeah, right. And
got home and signed up to Disney Plus.
It delivered.
It does deliver. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if you had watched a Star Wars movie, that would have been mid-December sometime. So yeah, you would have gotten through a large chunk of it in one go if you wanted to. Because I think it came out in November.
Yeah. I think we just smashed like 3 episodes at a time.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Looking forward to it.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is. A murderer. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Are you a Wonder Woman or DC fan?
As far as the DCU goes, I think Wonder Woman's been the best one so far.
I agree. Yeah. It was a great movie and I am honestly looking forward to 84.
Me too.
I think it'll be really good and it has been delayed. Yeah. But there was news this week that Patty Jenkins, the director, is also going to direct Cleopatra with Gal Gadot in it as well, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
But what I thought was interesting was mainly because her stuff is getting pushed back, because they don't want to release just a stream because they know they're not going to get enough money back. She kind of laid it out. She did. If we lose cinemas during this time, we're not going to get them back.
Mm.
And that's wild to think of.
Is she being a bit dramatic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because movies are open.
Yes.
And people are genuinely interested in going back to see films.
Mm.
I know that there's a lot of drive-ins in America in particular that people are enjoying. I've never been to a drive-in.
Me neither. I'm not sure if I would like it because my car seats are not designed for movie-going comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
I do kind of see where she's coming from though, because obviously we've seen so many cancellations of movies.
Yep.
I think it was last week the new James Bond got cancelled.
Yep.
Sorry, not cancelled, pushed back.
Yeah, and June and the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
There was one more. Matrix 4.
So that's
just in a week.
Are they moving the John Wick as well? Because, you know, that was supposed to come out on the same day.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be a big Keanu Reeves doubleheader.
Appreciation Society. Yeah. Amazing.
John Wick and Matrix 4 both on the same day.
That'll be interesting to see because John Wick's a big franchise
as
well.
It is a big franchise, yeah. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, this new James Bond movie kind of has really had a big effect on the industry because I think that I read a story last week that Cineworld, which actually has, you know, hundreds of venues across the US and the UK,
yeah,
is actually going to be closing their doors as a result. I think they were relying on this movie coming out to keep their doors open. And now I was reading that 45,000 jobs are under threat.
45,000.
45,000 jobs.
If this is the case, which it definitely sounds like it is, there's a real roll-on effect within Hollywood because then what's the incentive for production companies or Paramount or whoever to make movies as opposed to just making streaming stuff?
And that's it. And that's maybe the thing that we see is a big pivot towards making TV shows that can come out on these streaming services and that sells subscriptions.
I feel like this is what Disney is doing right now.
Well, that's it. I mean, it is also something that, I mean, COVID is quite a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
And we're seeing these movies get delayed that have been in the works for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
What happens 3 or 4 years down the line when the movies that were supposed to start production now are not coming out?
Real dry up.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So now is maybe not the crucial time.
Mm.
Maybe in a couple of years it is. I mean, right now we're having movies that are ready to be released.
Yeah, they're here.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But in a couple of years you might have no movies. Mm.
I wonder how it's going to affect things like Marvel, because I know that they have everything carefully slotted in.
Yeah.
They're a huge company, so they must have pivoted enough, but they've put off a hell of a lot of stuff as well, including Disney stuff.
Well, Black Widow is supposed to be out by now.
Yeah.
I think obviously we're into phase four. So the end of Endgame was obviously the end of phase three.
Mm.
That sort of closed off a couple of loops.
And now we're waiting.
I mean, it's kind of good in a way that they managed to get to that particular point.
Yeah, lucky, very lucky.
If you're going to stop, that's a good time to do it.
It's called Endgame, right?
It is. And also if you're releasing a movie that's expected to make over a couple of billion dollars.
Yeah.
Then you want to have that before a pandemic, right?
I really don't want to have that streamed.
That's it, yeah.
And another thing about, you know, the movie-going experience versus stuff like the drive-in or streaming is that you go there for, you know, like you think about that when you went and saw Endgame.
Mm.
You went to the movies to watch it, not just on the big screen, but to have everybody else reacting.
That's it. And you see those videos of people reacting to those scenes in, you know, in the States. I mean, obviously we're not so vocal here.
No, we're very reserved.
But yeah, it is a reaction. It's the shared experience, isn't it? Yeah. It's about being there with people.
Yeah.
And that's why you go to sports games. It's the same thing. You can watch it at home, but you don't get the same experience, right?
It's really not the same.
Yeah. So looking at what Marvel had coming out. So Black Widow, it looks like it's been pushed by a year, so to next year.
So we could then in theory say that everything Marvel is pushed back a year.
Well, you'd think so. I mean, we've got Shang-Chi. I'm sorry,
that's the one that's getting made in Brisbane or Queensland, somewhere in Queensland.
And so that's next year, the Eternals next year.
Yep.
The next Spider-Man. I mean, they're all ready to go apparently next year. So 4 in 1 year is quite a lot for Marvel. And then we've got Thor the year after.
Oh, yeah. Well, that definitely hasn't been made yet.
Well, you know what definitely hasn't been made is Black Panther. And that's
going to be difficult.
Yeah. That's a tough pivot, that one.
I don't know what they're going to do, obviously. But I think at this point in time, they may have to not say, and the role is now played by, I think, another character within the movie.
Or the sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't be like, it's fine. He just looks a bit different.
You can't recast it. Yeah. Well, I mean, the sister, she already makes all the gear.
Yeah.
She already knows how it all works. I think that's a pretty obvious choice.
Yep.
She's a great character. Just give it to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've decided.
Kevin Feige, we're happy to say your name.
You're welcome.
Do it.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Paramount Pictures have got a movie. It's like a romance action comedy movie that they want to make called The Lost City of D, and they want Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds to star in it. Now, these two haven't been in a movie together since. Did you see The Proposal?
I didn't.
2009?
Yeah.
Do you know why it's funny?
Why is that?
Because of those two.
Yeah. Okay.
They're both individually amusing people who I genuinely like seeing on screen, and then to have them together, it's funny.
Chemistry?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
So to have them potentially come back and do a movie, so she would play a romance author who discovers a fictional city that she's been writing about, and she finds out that it's real, prompting her to embark on a risky journey to find the city. What do you reckon? Ryan Reynolds is your sort of Han Solo character.
I think so. He plays that sort of rogue-like very well.
Yep.
The risque jokes that he can get away with because he's so hot.
Hot and the timing.
Yeah. You know what though?
What?
He can still get away with it when his face is completely covered, like in Deadpool.
He can joke his way through a mask.
He can act, that guy. He's got some range.
It's wild to think he was just one of the two blokes in Two Guys, a Girl,
right?
Yeah, Pizza Place. Like, it's just crazy.
It's amazing to see people come from something like that and then do something serious and then do, you know, go back to comedy, be a superhero, all sorts of things.
And now do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Should we get into some watching suggestions?
I think so. Oh, how about one other thing?
Oh, a bonus.
A bonus news. I don't know if you've spoken about this already, but I was reading about Lord of the Rings and their resumed production
in New Zealand.
I mean, I was kind of surprised that, what was being filmed in California before? Oh, yeah, the Obi-Wan. I was surprised that they weren't filming over there, because that seems to be the only place where you can actually do stuff sort of unfettered. I'm personally really excited about this one.
Now, this is coming to Amazon, right?
It is. And this, go ahead.
I'm so glad I signed up. I've been thinking about it for a long time.
Because when it comes out, it's too late.
Yeah, you can't do it after that.
You're just a bandwagon jumper.
That's right. Now I'm cool.
How much do you reckon they threw at this for the rights alone?
Oh, so much. I don't even think Netflix would have had the budget for this because Amazon sells
everything.
Everything. And that's how they got the money for this.
Well, this is sounding a little bit like a Jeff Bezos passion project because he's a massive Lord of the Rings fan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it sounds like he's just chucked. Have a wild guess. Just for the rights alone. Just a stupid guess.
It's got to be a lot. $250 million.
Wow, bang on.
Are you joking?
Yeah, no, literally, that's how much they pay for the rights.
Because I was like, it can't be in the billions because then he would have bought it.
Well, the thing is that like that doesn't include
$250 million.
Yeah, just for the rights. So just to be allowed by Tolkien's estate
to
make a Lord of the Rings TV show.
That's a great deal. Well done, Tolkien's estate.
Well, yeah. I mean, that doesn't even cover the budget, which is said to be over $1 billion. And so that makes it by far the most expensive TV show ever made and probably ever will be made.
Now, we were talking about what is going to fill the Game of Thrones hole.
This is it. Well, I hope this is it.
I hope so too. And it does make sense that it would be because people already love it and have been loving it since, what, the 50s or whenever he wrote it.
Well, this is Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones was Game of Thrones.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's where George R.R.R. Martin got his inspiration because he was a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Oh, how many people has he inspired? And how many different IPs has this inspired?
For sure.
This is the sort of quintessential fantasy universe. I don't know if you heard the story as well. So speaking of filling a Game of Thrones size void, they've actually hired an intimacy coordinator to work on this show.
Is this because of COVID?
No.
Or is it like I'm really interested? I don't know why.
Well, perhaps, but combined with the casting calls that have gone out for people who are comfortable with nudity.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought Lord of the Rings would go there.
Well, this is it. And this is sort of the reason for a lot of the backlash that they've been getting online is that people saying, well, this really isn't in the spirit of Tolkien. I mean, I don't really want to see Sam's dong.
I think that's fair. That's probably a popular reaction to it. I had no idea about that. That is bizarre. Where on earth is it? Who is it? The elves just having fun? Like what?
I think this is. I mean, and this is the sort of basis of the reaction that it's been getting is that it. I mean, Tolkien doesn't need this. I don't think Lord of the Rings really requires that kind of thing.
I understand the violence bit because there are wars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we saw it in the movies as well. But, yeah, it's almost like they're just adding it on for adding it on sake.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if – I'm sure you've read the trilogy.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any sex scenes.
I remember him talking about blades of grass for a fair while.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of poetry.
A lot of it.
Yeah. So maybe that was like an allegory for sex.
Oh, we'll have to go back and read it. That's a big commitment, though. Yeah. I read them twice.
That is a big commitment.
Yeah, I read them once, like in high school or something. Not for high school, but that was when I read them. Mm. And then I read them again as the movies were coming out.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the first movie before I sort of had any idea what it was about.
And you loved the movies.
Loved them. Yeah. I'd probably give them a watch once a year.
Yeah.
And and then I read the books sort of within the next month or so.
Because that year gave you time to catch up.
Exactly.
It was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was such an experience, those movies. And just the fact that, I mean, they seem to really be taking this seriously. Tolkien, his estate is really involved in it as well.
Awesome.
They've actually kind of put some limitations on what the TV show is allowed to cover.
Okay.
So they've said that it can't overlap with the movies at all. It all has to pertain to the second age. So
after?
No, this is before. So the second age ended with the fall of Sauron.
Okay.
So where Isildur picks up the ring, that's where the second age finishes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third age finishes when the ring gets destroyed. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. There's going to be some Middle Earth historians that are going to be.
I think you might find.
But it's a 3,500 year period where they've got a lot to cover.
Yep.
There's a whole different land that's not involved in any of the books. So it's called Numenor.
And
so
off to the Numen west. Nude.
Oh, yeah, we get it. It all makes complete sense, yeah. So I don't know if you can tell, but I'm really, really excited about this one.
They're filming it right now.
Yeah. Apparently they've just finished the second episode, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome news. Mm.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much for the bonus news story, because I didn't know any of that. Learn something new every day.
That's it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Leah, do you have Disney Plus?
I do, and I like it. And I didn't know if I liked it for a while. Mm. I thought maybe I only liked it because of Mandalorian for a bit, and then I changed the way I was thinking about it.
Mm.
I was thinking about it as if it was Netflix, where something new was there all the time.
Yes.
But that's not what I should be looking at it for. I should be looking at it for the whole backlog of everything Disney. So when I go and watch Mighty Ducks, that's why I've got Disney.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not an aggregator.
No.
It's like a collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like sitting at home, these are all my Disney movies.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I originally, as we said before, I originally got it for The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But I've kept it for The Simpsons.
Ah, because you've got every single season.
Every single season of The Simpsons.
Phenomenal that they managed to get that, even though I know it's Fox, but like it's still crazy that
that's a thing. It's nuts. And I think, I mean, in my personal opinion, seasons 3 to 10 of The Simpsons are almost unassailable in terms of the quality of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're the ones that everybody has watched multiple times.
Yeah. They're the ones that were on a Saturday morning or a weekday night. And obviously, you know, any show has to fall off at some point.
Were there seasons that you just dropped out of and haven't watched?
When I go through them, I kind of stop at around 13 and just start again.
Okay.
Yeah, because to me it's more valuable to watch those ones than it is to like keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so packed. Let me give you an example. The episodes around that point, they're so packed full of everything.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like you could probably get 4 good episodes out of some of the ideas that they have in each episode.
Sure.
One I watched the other night is, it's called Marge in Chains. The premise is that Marge goes to jail.
I'm sure I've seen
it. You would have
this.
Seen it. Yeah, you definitely
early
would have seen
seasons?
It. Yeah, it's I think it's season 5.
Oh, 100% would have seen it.
Basically, the show starts with an infomercial for the juice loosener. Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
Yeah,
there used to be good. Only one way to juice an orange. Squeezes it in his eye.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember it, yeah.
And Dr. Nick comes out with the juice loosener.
Hi, I'm Dr. Yeah. Nick.
Pours a whole bag of oranges into the juice loosener. They get a drop out of it. Wow. You got all that juice from a whole bag of oranges? Yeah. So, and then it goes to the factory in Japan where somebody has the flu.
And
he hacks into the box and then the whole town gets the flu.
Yes.
So that to me is already a couple of episodes. Like that's an episode there. Just, you know, Springfield gets the flu.
That's the episode.
That could be an episode. But then, you know, the whole family's harassing Marge and she's sick and she goes to the Quickie Mart and she accidentally steals something because she puts it in her pocket. There's a courtroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's another episode. So in this episode, and she obviously gets convicted in the end.
Yeah.
In this episode called Marge in Chains, Marge goes to jail at the 16th minute.
Really?
There's 6 minutes worth
of this
particular concept.
That's hilarious.
But that's just how packed those episodes are.
No wonder people struggle to find the episodes then if they're trying to find the one where you know, they predict the COVID.
Yeah.
And it's called Marge Goes to Jail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. And the thing is, like, none of the episodes finish how they start. It's always some completely random setup that gets you to the end point.
You're making me want to watch them again. I remember the first season looks a bit rough.
The first season, you can tell they're still
finding
their form in terms of the animation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The voice is a little bit different.
Yeah. Marge is, I think hers is a bit less Marge-like.
It is.
Yeah.
Also, Monty Burns doesn't actually sound like an old bloke. He just sounds like a sort of regular guy. I think that's the most noticeable
thing.
Hey,
I'm Monty, I'm regular guy.
But that's it. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, once you exhaust all of those stories,
yep.
what do you do?
Yeah.
You can't send Marge to jail again.
I haven't watched a Simpsons episode for quite a few years now, as I'm sure there's a large chunk of people that have done the same. But maybe I'll just jump into a random one on Disney Plus and just see what it's like.
It's, I mean, you can just watch it. I mean, they all reset at the end. There's no continuing story.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think there's enough on Disney Plus to keep you around?
Come Christmas time, that's where I'm going to be watching the Christmas movies.
That's it.
I will be watching Home Alone again, thanks.
Do you remember how difficult Disney movies used to be to find? Well, with their VHSs and the DVDs, they actually had a vault where the movies would only come out of the vault every sort of 7 years or so. Normally, you couldn't just go out and buy The Lion King.
Yeah, right.
You had to wait until this particular window where they would release the movie, and for that couple of months or whatever, you could buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's at your fingertips whenever you want it.
It's a whole new world.
It is.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Hold your breath, it's much better.
I had to.
That was amazing.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're throwing it all at us. Now,
they are.
So you're asking the question, I think there's value? Do I have value in it? Do you find value in it?
Without The Simpsons, I wouldn't have it anymore.
Really?
I think so. I think it's kind of the thing where you can sort of jump in, pay for the subscription for a month and watch The Mandalorian and then jump back out. For me, it's one of those things. I still think they're waiting for that big get.
I agree. I also think that their plans to make a whole heap of shows has fallen through.
Yeah. It's been unfortunate timing for them.
Yeah. And I think they'll be fine in the long run, but
Disney's fine.
Yeah, Disney's fine. Yeah. And I think their streaming service will be fine because it looks like they're pushing a whole heap of stuff in. And I thought it was interesting that Mulan was one of the movies that was supposed to come out, right? Mm. The live action film.
Yeah.
And then it didn't, and then it didn't, and then it didn't. And then they went, you know what?
It's time.
You can watch on Disney Plus, but at a premium. And I went, I'm not going to because I pay for Disney Plus.
And that sort of leads me to my next
point. Not paying more.
Yeah. Is this a bad precedent to be setting? I mean, I think Mulan is one of those things where if it was on there, do you think people might have actually just subscribed?
Yeah, yes. I think you would have had people.
Yep.
But maybe they wouldn't have had as many people as like a new Mandalorian season.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is fair enough because it's retelling a story that we already know. But I also think that to ask for money from a customer that's already given you that money is kind of rough, but other places do it as well. Because
Prime does it.
Exactly. We're talking about it. And even in the confusing manner that this, you know, like the Apple TV, the Apple Plus, it's like, oh, we get to watch it. Oh, no, I've got to pay for that one. I've got to pay for that. Like, so they're not the only ones. I think, once again, Netflix has really given us a bad example because they're like, here.
Have it all. Yeah.
And have all the originals. Case with everything.
Well, that's it. And obviously, Disney has a huge back catalogue.
Yeah.
They own Star Wars. They own Fox. My question would be, though, where are all of the other Fox shows? So where's Family Guy, for instance?
They don't have an outlet for that because Disney is family friendly.
Got it.
I know that they own Hulu over in the US.
Right.
So I'm not sure if it's on there, but I mean, you think about stuff that is on Hulu, like Handmaid's Tale. Mm.
Yeah.
Disney.
Right.
So I wonder if that's where we're eventually going to get a whole heap of that stuff that they've bought up.
But is Mandalorian child friendly?
It's got the kid in it. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because when you think about Star Wars, even though it is considered like family friendly, still a bit of violence.
There's violence.
It's not a lot, but
there's no swear words and stuff.
No swear words. Yeah. Is there blood? I don't know. I can't remember.
I feel like there's some. But yeah, you're right. I guess it's more family friendly than something like Family Guy or American Dad or
absolutely. That kind of thing. So it's kind of a bit blurry as to where these things are going to go.
Yeah. But they've got options.
They do.
I think they're building this catalog. Mm-hmm. Obviously without COVID, they'd probably have another 3 Marvel movies under their belt as well.
Agreed.
And WandaVision is coming out.
They would go straight on to Disney.
Correct, yeah.
So it's the kind of thing that you have to think about. Are you going to keep it for that year, or do you do it month to month?
Yeah.
And if you do it month to month, maybe watch Mandalorian and then hold off for a bit until you know that they've got some more stuff.
Yeah.
Because you can dip in and out, can't you?
I think you can. And to me, it's just the convenience.
Yeah, agreed.
My brother and I love the Marvel movies. It's just so good to just have them all there.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mulan before. I watched it.
You did it?
I watched it. I took the plunge.
So what did you think of the original one? Did you love it when you were a kid?
The original one is possibly my favorite.
Really?
If not top 3 Disney movies.
Yeah, right.
And I'm counting all of them. Whether or not that has to do with the fact that we had it and it was just one of the ones that we smashed over and over again. But I probably would have seen it at least 20 times.
Yeah.
Everything I'm about to say about this movie is I do acknowledge that I'm probably not the target audience for this movie. In fact, I'm almost positive I'm not.
Are you sure you're not? You're the one that watched it all the time as a kid.
But that's it though. I mean, I don't think this movie is made for a fan of the former movies. I think this is trying to bring new fans to it.
Okay, interesting.
But first and foremost, I mean, do you think this movie was cursed? I've never seen a movie with such baggage. I think it's impossible to ignore because there's so many things go wrong. So the lead actress last year, I'm going to butcher her name, Crystal Liu Yifei, last year tweeted in support of the Hong Kong police around August 2019. That's when it was sort of in the thick of things. And then there was the hashtag going around boycott Mulan. That's not what you want to have about your movie.
No.
I mean, this movie was mostly shot in New Zealand, but for authenticity's sake, they did shoot quite a lot in locations in China.
Okay.
And there was a little bit of trouble because one of the provinces that they filmed in, which is called Turpan, I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
Mm-hmm.
So the Turpan Public Security Bureau has apparently been listed by the US government as an organization involved in, quote, human rights violations and abuses in the region. This refers mostly to the detention of Uyghurs in that region.
So how was it that Disney decided that that's where they were going to film stuff then?
When you film in China, because the government runs everything,
mm-hmm.
you have to get permission from the government. Maybe that was one of the only places that they were allowed to film.
Maybe.
It's also the case that stuff like that is going on everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe also that place is particularly beautiful.
So watching it, were you able to tell the scenes that...
No. I mean, I'm sure you could look up which one.
That's interesting then, isn't it?
I'm sure you could look up which one was.
Yeah.
So do you mean it in China as opposed to New Zealand? Not really.
Couldn't tell, so...
No. But New Zealand is so broad.
Yeah.
There's so much variety over there. I mean, you've seen Lord of the Rings. Like,
yeah.
There's everything, every kind of landscape over there that I'm sure you could film anything in New Zealand. Yeah. They've got everything you need.
They do.
Yeah.
And then, of course, with COVID, it was all sort of...
Everything's been pushed back.
Because it was... I can't remember exactly when it was coming out. I want to say sometime in April. So
it was early
not
this year.
Long after.
It was quite... Yeah, it was quite...
Because I remember it was on the buses.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was being advertised. So the fact that it was pushed back and then they just went, just do it. It was almost like they just wanted to get it over and done with.
That's it. And I really feel like Disney were swinging hard at this movie because they've been making live action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long has it been now since they sort of really started putting their weight behind that?
Well, the two big ones that I can think of in the past couple of years were Aladdin and Lion King.
They were the
big ones. And I guess this was the next one in the line.
Well, it's really, when you think about it, it's the last big one aside from The Little Mermaid. That's the Little Mermaid is kind of the last one they've got left.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So I feel like they've sort of been ramping up to this one. And obviously, not just for Disney, but for studios all over the place, China is a big market. And this is probably one that they've been saving for that particular market and hoping that they would clear a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
So they're really swinging for the fences for this one. I think it was really unfortunate for them, just everything that's happened. But onto the movie. Did you like the original?
Yeah, I remember liking it. I remember it was... fun.
I think it's amazing. Obviously, Disney has no shortage of, I guess, princesses.
Yeah.
She's not your typical princess in that she's not an actual princess.
Yeah.
You know, she's a great strong female character.
Capable,
yeah. Rising up against the patriarchy.
Yep.
But the thing about her is that she's a believable character.
Mm-hmm.
I get her. I get her motivation. I understand her. And I feel like she could be a real person.
Mm.
The first thing I have to say about this movie, incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, the trailer itself.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Visually, this... I mean, the phrase, every frame a painting, comes to mind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, every single frame, scene, battle sequence has been immaculately curated.
Choreographed as well, I would imagine.
The choreography is incredible.
Yeah.
They've kind of gone down the path of a sort of Crouching Tiger type thing.
I was getting that vibe.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
It looked like that's where they were drawing the inspiration from.
And the colors, I mean, it's amazing. Visually, and that's what's so hard, is that this movie would have greatly benefited from a theatrical release, because on the big screen, this movie would have been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, yeah. But on your laptop or whatever, you know, people are watching it on, misses out a bit.
I mean, it still goes all right, but when you see it on a big screen, it would have been a great experience.
So you said that you're not the target audience for this for a few reasons.
Yeah.
So what about if I'm 11 years old, I've never seen I probably have seen the original.
You've got Disney Plus.
And I've got Disney Plus. Yeah. Am I going to like it?
I think so.
Mm.
I think you are. I think there's a lot going on. It's really not hard to follow.
Yeah.
It's not a beat for beat remake. Like a lot of the other live action ones are.
Sure.
But it still follows pretty closely the story. There are a couple of notable omissions in terms of characters. I mean, obviously Eddie Murphy doesn't make an appearance, but her captain in the previous one, who was also a love interest, he's quite a notable omission, I think.
Okay.
His role has sort of been split into two different characters.
Interesting that they decided to go that way.
It is interesting. Mm. I'm not sure what the reason for that is. But what also got me was that they removed all the songs, and that was such a big part the original to me.
That's a Disney movie. That's that sort of Disney movie.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like,
it is.
You've got the songs.
I think, and to me, unfortunately, and maybe because of that, or that's contributes to it, is that this movie just felt kind of joyless compared to the original. I really feel like the songs provided a great amount of levity to what is quite heavy subject material.
Mm.
We're talking about war. I mean, these are young men and one woman going off to face what look like insurmountable odds against a sort of unknown and quite terrifying foe. And the songs really gave the movie a great sense of camaraderie and levity to this quite... Yeah, dark
situation.
Give
the audience a bit of a break.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think songs are a great way to build character as well.
For sure.
You know, somebody sings to themselves.
Yeah.
It's not weird that they're speaking their thoughts out loud, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean. It's a great way to deliver an internal monologue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a Shakespearean monologue, but, you know, it's to music.
I'm soliloquying in the
exactly.
key of D.
That's it.
Yeah.
What kind of killed me was that they kept alluding to the songs.
If you're not going to do it, just don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was part of the soundtrack. Some of the lines reflect the lyrics of the songs. Yeah, to me, just overall, it was just, it wasn't as fun as the original. And maybe that's what they were going for.
Missed a few marks.
It did, a little bit.
Damn.
But you know what? And the bottom line is it worth the $30?
Mm.
No.
I'll wait then. Thank you very much.
It will probably come out on Disney Plus by itself.
Of course it will.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year it's on there.
I think so. I think, look, they've sort of gone down this path.
Absolutely.
And I think that's sort of, I don't know if they've made their bed, but this is what they've sort of lumped themselves into.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Maybe that's also why they decided to do it this way.
It seems like a sort of desperation move to me.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line is the bottom line.
Exactly.
This movie cost $200 million to make, and you can see it sort of in every part of it. This movie was an expensive movie, and I think they desperately wanted to just recoup some of that. Sitting on it was just...
It makes sense.
Yeah,
they
it does.
Want the money, but you can't keep it forever.
But you know what? $200 million budget, they've made back $66 million of that so far.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And apparently it hasn't been a really big splash in that market that they were trying to, you know, get into, which was China.
Yeah.
because yeah, I was reading some reviews from some Chinese reviewers, mm-hmm. critics, and they were kind of saying that it was an Americanized version of their mythology, and yep. they didn't really appreciate it.
It's like them watching Monkey Magic.
Yeah.
Which was a Japanese version dubbed into English.
Exactly, yeah.
About a Chinese folklore. Yeah. No, I get it. I totally get it. I don't think you've swayed me. I think I was already in that direction, but you've definitely given me more reasons why my trepidation to spend that money is justified.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I wanted to like this movie so badly. I wanted to love it because
and
I love the
original. Maybe that's why you didn't like it as much.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm biased.
Maybe a bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I said.
All in.
Exactly. Maybe. And that's why I said that, you know, I think it's trying to bring new people to it. And I think maybe watching this without any preconceived notion of what the story is going to be like or what the characters are going to be like, you might enjoy it more because, like I said, visually it's an incredible experience.
That's the problem with Disney movies.
Yeah.
People watch them with nostalgia.
Nostalgia goggles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what though? Aladdin was good.
Aladdin was good. I haven't seen Lion King yet, but Lion King wasn't my favorite Disney movie.
Lion King had the same problem. I just felt like it was a little bit less joyful.
I don't want a serious one because my memory is the serious bit in the movie.
Yeah.
And the music helped.
Yeah, that's it.
Follow the Watchers on Twitter. At the Watchers Pod 1.
So just really quickly, I've only watched one episode of it, but I have managed to catch the first episode of Walking Dead World Beyond. That's the one on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Very different feel, which I quite enjoy. It's taking a younger look. It's a younger cast, and they have spent their whole time living in a compound where the zombies can't get to them.
Right.
And they've been trained, but they've never actually experienced in real life. And then they decide that they have to go on a journey outside. So yeah, I don't have much more to say about it than that, but Fear was good. Looking forward to the rest of Fear and I still quite like zombies apparently.
Yeah. Where are we set, this one?
So this one is set.
The other one was Georgia.
This is Iowa, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're going places.
Do you think there's any chance they bump into the
potentially cast, because some of the fear cast have met original cast and also people connected to this new one. So
Great.
It's good.
Awesome.
And it's refreshing that we haven't watched it for ages.
Yes.
It's kind of, you're actually, you're interested in getting more. So that was good. But yeah, that's why, one of the reasons why I got Amazon, but I'm also interested in seeing The Boys.
Correct.
I haven't started it, but you have.
So this is my recommendation for the week.
You're going to give it a go?
Oh, well, I've already.
So have you finished the second season?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, you're done. Okay.
So we're done. It's great. If you like superhero movies, you will like this.
Okay.
Basically, the concept is that if we had superheroes in real life, but they weren't all the goody good two shoes type characters. Yeah. It's sort of set, I would say, a pretty grounded reality. All of the superheroes are basically products that are marketed by a big international company called Fort. Yeah.
I remember now you're saying it, Tom talking about the setup.
So it's like if they were all influencers, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but deep down they're all pricks.
And they go a bit crazy, or are they already crazy?
I mean, they're already sort of just assholes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and that's kind of the basic setup.
So with the second season, has it continued the story, or has it made it? Has it elevated the madness in a way you wanted?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they've basically just taken, to me, a perfect sequel takes the world, it builds on the world, adds new characters and puts the current characters in different situations. That's exactly what the second season has done. It's sort of obviously clarified a few things that were happening in the first season.
Given you some answers, but I assume there are more questions as well, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always throwing up questions.
Yeah.
We've now got, I can't remember the actor's name, but Gustavo Fring from Breaking Bad.
The
Poyos Hermanos.
Yeah, right.
Bloke. Great cast, obviously.
Yeah.
Carl Urban, who's done just about everything. Another Kiwi actor, actually, Anthony Starr. I haven't seen him in anything else, but he plays, so all of the superheroes are basically just based on superheroes that we already know. So
sure.
There's an Aquaman.
Yeah.
there's a storm.
There's a Flash kind of
character.
There's
a Flash guy who runs really fast.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously the leader who's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
He's called Homelander.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played by...
He kind of looks the worst.
Oh, well, I'm not going to ruin anything, okay. But he is. But yeah, he's played by a Kiwi actor.
Oh, really?
Anthony Starr. And honestly, to me, he steals the show.
So that's okay.
Yeah, this guy's just amazing. Mm. I mean, the show wouldn't be what it is without him. He's really, really good at playing both sort of a petulant wanker, but also a really smug asshole as well.
Yeah.
But he can be really menacing too. But also he shows like a lot of vulnerability at some points.
A man with all that power.
Honestly, I feel like he really steals the show. So,
I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, yeah. Carl Urban, unfortunately, is on my list of the top bad accents in. He plays a Cockney geezer.
And it's hard work.
It doesn't take you out of it too much, but I kind of put it in the same vein as, you know, that girl from The Good Place who plays that?
Yeah, what? Why?
I'm doing the air quotes Australian.
Why?
Yeah. You know what, though? Why not just hire an Aussie?
There's enough of them. Over there. I know.
But are there no Aussies in Hollywood?
No, they don't exist.
No, they don't.
No one from Australia moves over to LA.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I do want to watch it. I maybe I'll try and get into it this weekend.
It's one of those things where you just set aside a few hours because it's pretty Moorish and you don't have to concentrate too hard. It's always good.
I like a non-concentration. So you've got to intersperse them with the other shows.
Correct.
Are you ready for Would You Rather?
Yeah, we are.
When safe to do so, would you rather go to a packed out sporting event of whatever sport of your choosing or a music festival? I've made it hard for you.
Yeah, it's not though because the festival, yeah.
When was the last festival for you?
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this the other day. It was November. Return to Rio, which is at Wiseman's Ferry.
There you go, almost a year.
Yeah, it's a beautiful little festival. It's probably only got a few thousand people.
Mm.
But I was talking with my girlfriend, Tash, about some festivals that we'd had planned to go to. So one was over New Year's, which was Lost Paradise.
Had you paid for them?
Yeah, we paid for them. And then another one was in Victoria called Rainbow Serpent.
Yeah, right.
And we're like, oh, yeah, you know, these festivals are getting cancelled. But then we were thinking about it. We're just like, hang on a tick. That wasn't even because of COVID. That was because of the fires.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was just this whole slew of music festivals that got cancelled because of the fires. Yeah, so.
Full on.
I know Subsonic last November as well. Oh, sorry, I think it might have been the start of December. That got cancelled and.
Because the fires were, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one and they had a lot of international artists coming for that one. So yeah, that would have stung that one.
So do you have any tickets that you're sort of holding on to at the moment?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly for a festival.
Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day and they were like feasibly 2022. That's what they're probably planning.
Yeah. Sporting events though, you can still kind of go to them.
That question made me sad.
I'm sorry. Okay. Let's make it. Okay. Would you rather Christmas or your birthday? Which do you prefer?
I mean, I just turned 30 this year, so my birthday was a big blowout.
It was a big one.
But Christmas is amazing because it's everybody's birthday, right?
It's everybody gets Christmas. Everyone's birthday.
Yeah.
And everybody gets like so excited.
Yeah.
Not even like a week beforehand. Yeah. We're talking like 2 months beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know what? We need to plan where we're going to do ours this year.
Don't worry. Your mum's already said.
She's already said. Who's making the trifle this year?
Oh, that's a good. Who did it last year? I can't remember.
Yeah. Just for people not in the know, whoever does the trifle, it rotates.
Yeah, it's a rotating trifle. Yeah,
as is tradition.
Might
be my turn again.
Feel like it's because I know I've done it at least twice.
Yeah.
And I think you've only done it once.
I remember the picture of me doing it and I look. In my head, I look pretty young.
Yeah, okay, then it's your turn. You better put your hand up quickly because otherwise people are going to take it. All right. On a lazy Sunday arvo, would you rather watch something new or watch something you've watched heaps of before? So a new movie or TV show or The Simpsons, basically.
I think the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing.
Because then you can sit there and do it like you can do Lego.
Yeah, you don't have to pay attention.
You have to watch it.
Yeah. I feel like when you're lacking brain power, something familiar is definitely preferable, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes for me, a Sunday is like, I've forgotten to watch anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you need to research, don't you?
Watch something new. Quick.
Yeah. Well, what would you prefer though?
I think I'd prefer to watch a movie that's older that I may or may not have seen, but if I have seen it, I can't remember much of it.
Got it.
Yeah.
That so it's like a new movie.
It's like a new movie, but it's old, so the stakes are really low.
Sure.
Like,
but you still get whatever. You still get the experience of the new movie. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's still familiar.
Yeah. Okay. This is one I'm not sure if I've got in my memory at all right, but I know the beginning. Would you rather drink prawn juice? Or I was trying to remember what the other one was. Yeah. I think it was like a dessert mashup or something.
It was a it was if anyone's seen that Friends episode where
Thanksgiving, I think it was. Wasn't
something like that. Rachel doesn't know how to cook and she makes a trifle and two of the pages are stuck together and she accidentally makes shepherd's pie / trifle.
It's disgusting.
And she's like, yeah, so we got the jelly, we got the fruit, we got the cream, and then we got potatoes and lamb. And
and everyone's like, ugh.
That's
and
it.
Joey's, what's not to like? Good, good, good.
Cream, good. Jello, good. Meat, good.
Good. So we made you drink prawn juice. It wasn't that difficult because you were like, yeah, sure. But then the year after, I think, like your mum kept trying to hide the prawn juice.
She put the kibosh on that.
She knew that that's what was going to happen. Yeah. So
she knows us too well. If we find something funny once, we're going to find it funny again.
Over and over again. So then, it was you had a disgusting mashup of food.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I have to say, I agree with Joey.
Yeah, right. It was good.
Cream and beef is actually somewhat of a good combination.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it all comes from the same animal when you think about it.
Mm, that's true. Yeah. And you're just having creamy beef. It's like a stroganoff.
Yeah.
That's all you were eating, Christmas stroganoff.
Okay. I don't know how the jelly fits into that, though.
It was probably just attached to the cream. Would you rather a game remake with better graphics, mechanics, etc., or a brand new IP, like a brand new game?
Well, we can sort of answer this with reference to what's actually been done, can't we?
Mm.
So I guess we're thinking, would we rather a remake of GTA 3?
Yep.
Or
GTA 6?
Definitely.
No, not even GTA 6, or a brand new game from Rockstar.
New IP. I think definitely a new IP.
Me too, because when I think about new games that I remember, like fondly, I'm talking about Horizon Zero Dawn, clearly. Yes. It was a new IP.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing. I don't know anything about it. This is so cool. And even though I'm very excited about the sequel.
Yeah. I mean, you know the combat's going to be pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, the general idea is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm more keen just to see where they take the story, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was a great story.
Yeah. But no, totally. I mean, the new IPs that have come out this generation
have been awesome.
Bloody fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Horizon. I guess God of War isn't a new IP, though, is it?
It's really confusing, that one. All right. So we've decided new IP.
I think so, yeah.
So this is the final would you rather. This is the one that I ask everybody.
Yeah.
Because
I think I know what it's going
to
be.
Because I get to the point where I'm like, I can't think of any new ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what do you prefer? What do you prefer when you go to the movies? What do you order to eat?
Yeah. I'm a popcorn guy. I realize also that kind of annoys people around you if you're home.
Really?
So I don't know.
Come on, it's popcorn.
I know, but isn't it loud? Isn't it loud?
If you're eating a packet of, I don't know, Red Rock soy chips.
You don't have the whole like crinkle as you're going. When you order popcorn.
Yeah.
How much of it is gone before the movie actually starts?
So I used to have a rule that I wasn't allowed to eat any until the movie actually started. But then I realized if I just got a bigger popcorn that I could just eat the whole way through.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. If normally you would just sort of eat half of it.
Yep.
But now it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They're enormous. You just go for it. The only problem is you do have to ration the drink.
Yes.
Because otherwise you got to leave.
You know what I was going to say as well?
Yeah.
It sucks when you buy the big popcorn and you're with someone and you go, you want some popcorn? They go, no. You go, okay, I'm going to have to eat this huge box of popcorn all by myself.
Or you get a small popcorn and then the person you're with is like, can I just have some? And you're like, you've eaten half of it now and we haven't even started the movie. My rules.
You can't just have some popcorn, can you?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Not even a handful's enough.
It's not. Have you had that stuff, the microwave stuff? I think we have about 8 bags of it at our place at the moment.
Yeah, microwave popcorn is the kind of thing that you're like, let's get some, and you have a cup, you're like, that was really fun, and then you forget about the rest of it.
Oh, not us.
Really? Yeah. You just churn through.
It's a pretty regular, You know, like you said, the Sunday arvo or the Sunday afternoon thing. It's like, yeah, popcorn.
Maybe I should do that because I know I've got some.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's actually not too bad for you because when you think about it, you're only eating like, you know, 100 grams of stuff.
Do you get like the salty stuff or the?
You get the triple butter explosion.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Triple butter explosion.
Yeah. Aldi has it. You can buy it. You can just, so what we did last time, you know how Aldi, they just have the boxes of the stuff on the shelf.
You got the whole box. Of course you did.
Already conveniently packed up for you.
Thanks.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
Don't have to try and get a plastic bag from them.
It's like 80 cents each.
Oh, that's, you'd be mad not to.
Exactly.
Yeah. As I say, read the headlines, Aldi sells out of buttered popcorn.
One man responsible.
All right.
Colin, still at large.
Still at large. This has been a lot of fun.
It has been.
It's exactly like us talking.
Yeah, I don't even feel like we've actually been on a podcast, to be honest. Yeah.
Except if we're wearing headphones, we don't usually do that. And there's not other people around the table like, oh, when are they going to change the subject? I think they know by now that we're not going to. But we're going to have to get you back on because in the lead up to the console wars, I think we should have a chat about.
Definitely. There's Xbox, a lot of stuff to chat about.
PlayStation.
They're heating up the console wars.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. And, there's a very special secret guest on next week. Mm. Cannot disclose who it is. Awesome. In fact, you could say it's undisclosed.
Ooh. That's I'm doing the David Brent interlocking fingers.
I love that. Oh. Okay, so usually when I say on that note, thank you very much, Tom says something ridiculous. It's usually like a reference from a movie or something, like a line, and I know you're good at them. So
yeah.
On that note, Jasper, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I've been Richie Cunningham, and this is my wife, Oprah.